Welcome back, everybody.
To the Parakings podcast. I'm your host, Saul Thompson. You can find me on Instagram at Saul Thompson. I'm joined this week by my wonderful co-host.
I'm Saul Thompson. You can find me on Instagram at Saul Thompson.
How are we doing? What's new, Michael? It's been a while.
What'd you call me?
Hi, Saul. Solomon.
Solomon.
Since we last podcasted, I dyed my hair.
Yes, we have... Ken's back.
I'm okay. I'm mentally stable.
Yep. Things are regular.
Things are regular.
Things are so regular right now. Can we just talk about how regular things are for a second?
Dyeing your hair is fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little bit weirdly lengthed right now. This is such a lame conversation. Michael, can we get a fit check?
Yeah, let's fucking do it. Sorry, Mom. I said fuck. I am wearing these fun little textured Uniqlo socks instead of my usual non-textured Uniqlo socks, just to spice things up a bit. Crocs.
White people putting black pepper in their fucking spaghetti or whatever.
And then I am wearing Lactomir cargo jeans, which I've kind of been this. What I'm wearing right now has been my default outfit for the last couple weeks.
Really, it's that good?
Yeah, I don't know.
Respect to that guy. What's his name?
I have trouble pronouncing it.
Oh, okay.
It's like, it's on my phone and my phone's recording. I think it's like Bror, B-R-O-R.
Bror.
I'll look it up in a second.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's some guy who reached out to me on Instagram about sending me clothes, and normally I'm really Bror Cohn.
Cool. Shout out Bror Cohn.
Sorry if I'm butchering the shit out of your name.
Send Michael a voice recording of how you pronounce that.
Well, it's this guy in Denmark. He reached out to me about sending me clothes, and I usually am. A lot of those stay in the requests.
You can just say it sucks.
Yeah, some of those are bad, but this was actually really good. And he sent me this hoodie, which I'm currently wearing. It's like a heavy ribbed knit, like cropped but baggy hoodie, and these jeans. And I have been wearing them kind of constantly as my, like, if I'm not like planning an outfit, this is sort of just what I'm wearing.
Nice
default. Which means that it's been my like bopping around Bushwick outfit. And then I'm wearing a Metallica Ride the Lightning t-shirt.
Oh, is this the one that you got matching with your mom?
Dad. Me and my mom have matching Fleetwood Mac shirts.
Oh, nice.
Okay. I'm wearing a Metallica Ride the Lightning shirt, but not in like a cool, expensive vintage Fear of God way, but in like a bought from the Metallica web store this year kind of way.
You and Fiona should do Fiat Wood Mike for Halloween.
What?
Just be Fleetwood Mac. I'm trying to put your names in it. I'm really struggling. I'm really hungover, everybody. I'm sorry.
Thanks for the invite.
We invited Michael, for the record.
And I'm thanking him for it.
Fleetwood Mac mom or Ride the Lightning dad?
Both, actually. I have both. I have why does Fleetwood Mac get a why is Fleetwood Mac name only and Metallica gets the album specifically?
I don't know. Because you designated it as a Ride the Lightning shirt and a Fleetwood Mac shirt.
That's true. I think the Fleetwood Mac shirt I have is just a, like...
It's just them.
It's just them.
Mm.
Maybe it's... I don't remember. It's got a bird on it. Shout out that guy. Shout out whoever is the other guy. Whoever's the guy in Fleetwood Mac. Shout out, if Guy from Fleetwood Mac is listening to this, shout out Guy from Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah.
And Stevie Nicks.
Yeah. Stevie Nicks is cool. Listened to Edge of 17 yesterday. I need to make more engaging conversation. I'm so sorry, everybody. I'm going to lock in right now. Here's what we're going to do. All right. I'm wearing some Girbo jeans.
Gearbowed.
I've got my Lithuania bronze medal tee and then a vintage... This is my grandfather's Boston Red Sox windbreaker. That's
is it
colossal.
Got the zippers on the side?
Yeah, I undid the zipper. So, okay, first...
Like the Zara tee?
What?
The, like, zippers on the side, like the like, streetwear t-shirt thing?
Oh, the Fear of God
yeah.
2017...
Like a big old flannel, but the sides zip up for some reason. Not big, just long.
I'm trying to think. You think long line tees are going to come back? Those like atrocious.
The like with like the curved head. It's like a regular t-shirt, yep. But it's just a little too long. And you still wear it with like skinny jeans.
Yes.
Or like, yeah, you know what? There's a group of people in their 20s, 30s who have not let go of those.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen long line tees in a long time.
I see them like, I definitely see them on the like, there's a guy in my office, I'm pretty sure, he was wearing like it wasn't super
where do you
long,
work?
But.
I'm going to have to edit it. Please don't say it. Thank you. Don't, please, Michael. I regret it. You're going to do it anyway. That's fine.
No, there was a guy. There's a guy who was wearing like cuffed joggers with the like slightly extended drop, you know, like not drop crotch, but just a little playful long. And then like a longer t-shirt and a longer flannel. It was kind of crazy. Yeah. He had like some Jordans on.
I mean, fashion is a cycle, right?
Yeah.
Everything will come back eventually. I wonder if those Saint Laurent dip bleached flannels, sort of, they're not long line, but they are a little bit long, are ever going to come back to being a grail.
Because
back
line,
in the day,
just a little long.
Back in the day, those were incredibly expensive and people really wanted them. I'm curious as to what they sell for now. Yannick, in the video, thank you for doing this. Can you pull up a grailed listing of the I think it's Surf Sound is the Saint Laurent collection, but the dip bleach Saint Laurent flannel. They made a lot of fakes of them is the problem.
Yo,
so
I finally like let go of
You killed it?
No, I finally let
go.
Oh my
god, $360. That is less than I expected. Sorry to interrupt, but damn.
Buy one. You should buy one.
No, I shouldn't. They suck.
I finally let go of my like very skinny Rick Owens skinny jeans. Like I had Rick Detroit's, like stretch Detroit's.
You're going to want to buy those back in like a year and a half. And I'm going to have to hear, oh, and now I'm looking for them.
I have not worn them. I bought them 3 years ago.
Okay.
I've worn them 10 times.
Really?
Not a lot.
Huh.
And I legit have, I think I wore them once in the last like year. And I was like, these are funny.
Did you, oh, we have to talk about, did we talk about Fitbury at the end of that?
I think we might have a little bit, maybe not.
That might have been on the Hero Hero episode. Speaking of Hero Hero, if you'd like an extra episode of me fumbling around hungover every month, go over to herohero.co/BOK. You get an extra episode every month, access to giveaways and episodes early. You'll get them on Thursdays instead of Tuesdays, which is, in my opinion, pretty cool. You'll also get a role in the Discord.
If you would like to join the Discord, please message us, Pressed Avocado Greens.
Cool.
This podcast was brought to you by Pressed.
I wish, dude. Fuck. Give us the green juice sponsorship would be crazy.
Fuck, I would go nuts on a green juice sponsorship. I don't even want them to pay me. I would just have like, I'd line my cabinets with them like a frat boy.
I wish I was the head of some fashion, like, oh, all right. I can air some stuff. I do have stuff to talk about. One of my brother's friends works for Buck, not Allbirds. One of those it's something like Allbirds.
Saw your man at the Allbirds store and everybody knew his name.
Yeah. Oh fuck. It's something like Allbirds. I'll remember it. Yep. It's like athleisure wear for men. Apparently, so the CEO of this men's athleisure company is like a 40-something year old. It's apparently, one, really creepy. Two, very obsessed with the idea that he's still 19 and still 19 and in college. And there is a lot of internal strife within the company because he thinks the brand should be going one way because he wants to be a 20-year-old.
I feel like that is probably a lot of CEOs. A lot of like startup CEOs are just like rich kids who want to keep being kids.
Well, it is kind of crazy. So I've been going to these like VC pitch events to, I hate this word, network.
Network?
God, I hate myself so much for saying that. Anyway, And the thing I've realized is a lot of these founders aren't necessarily like the most innovative. Some of them are, don't get me wrong, like brilliant people, like PhDs from incredible schools. I'm not saying you have to have that to be a founder. I'm just trying to say some of them are very incredible, remarkable people. Some of them are like, my dad is rich. I'm founding this bullshit. And yeah, it's like Kickstarter in real life.
I think a lot of it's that.
I mean, a guy, he didn't even know I was in VC or anything like that. And I'm not currently at the moment. I'm in grad school. I just don't open my mouth and start spilling my shit. He comes up to me. He's like, hey, man, like, just wanted to introduce myself. I was like, hey, like, great to meet you. He's like, could I pitch you really quick on this idea I have and just like get your first impressions? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. Like, sure. Again, no hate to this guy. He was very positive. He was from the worst city in the United States, debatably, Miami.
Yeah, I was ready to debate, but no, Miami.
It is kind of the worst.
Kind of Miami.
He pitched me on glass straws.
Don't those already exist?
Yeah. He was like, we have a patent pending. And I was like, on glass straws? Not that dubiously. I just kind of wanted to hear more about what the idea was. And I was like, hey, yeah, like, you know, what stage of investment are you in? How much are you looking for this company? I promise I'm going to bring this back to fashion. Just bear with me. And he was like, oh, like $1.5 million. And I was like, oh my God, get fucked. Anyway, I was talking to him and I was like, yeah, like out of curiosity, is this your first attempt at getting funded? And he's like, yeah, this is my eighth. And
the same thing funded?
No, different ideas. I think when you have so much money, either in rich parents or in a previous venture that ended up working out, you can afford to start a million things and just fire money at it. And VCs will fund them. Like he had gotten funding on I don't want to talk about this guy too much because I don't want people to lead back to him. He was nice, like a nice dude, but I just don't think his ideas were that great. But on some of the more like basic apps ever, and he'd gotten funded for high six figures into seven figures. Which is to say that within fashion, I think there are a lot of startup brands that you see and people trying things out. And the ideas aren't necessarily that great, but they're run by people who have the money to burn and the talking skills and the networking skills to make these ideas work. So it got me thinking. I was like, yeah, I feel like there's something similar going on within fashion where there are a lot of fashion startups. Or brands that people start right out of school, or even just people who make it into the industry that have become successful. And I won't name names, but I think Michael knows who I'm talking about. Private school. Yeah. Who essentially just have money to throw and not only buy their way into relevancy, but try and ultimately and sometimes fail and fail upwards within the industry because you have the credence of running a brand.
I am always very impressed when I see I think if you have...
It took me 4 minutes to say, rich kids get to try.
I think that if you have... if you have rich parents, that's not your fault.
No.
And a lot of people have made cool brands and only managed to do so, like cool brands or cool concepts or cool whatever within fashion, and only managed to do so because they happen to have like the familial standing to do so. And
sure,
I think that's cool. I don't like, and I guess people who do this don't know the difference, but I don't really like when someone's like, oh, I like they starting just like a horrible brand, like a rehash of something else, or like a terrible like brand. I don't even know if there's a point to this, but just the idea that like just don't, you know, do something good with it.
Yeah.
if you're gonna have that over the rest of us, at least like take your time and make sure you have something important to say before you say it.
Yeah, I don't think that I hope it didn't come off like I was being salty.
You're a little salty, but that's kind of classic.
Oh, well,
you okay. You are salty.
Yeah. I mean, like, again, like you said, it's nobody's fault, but there have been, I mean, I find myself doing this a lot, comparing myself to people in the fashion industry, whether it be people just like not necessarily in the industry, but just posting photos or making content. And then people in the industry proper, like running brands and things like that. And I'm a very competitive person. I find myself getting competitive with those people, even though they don't know I exist. Or sometimes they do. I don't know. But essentially, I need to take a step back and just be like, listen, I'm being ridiculous right now. This is fucking stupid. Second of all, I don't have insane amounts of money to buy my way into an elite club, which is okay. I'm going to do it my little own way. But I don't know. I found myself spending a little bit too much time focusing on other people who don't know I exist and being competitive with people who I shouldn't be at all. This is also to say that I think that...
So focused on the cheese, you forgot about the trap.
The trap, exactly. This has also coincided with me spending more time on Instagram than I'm comfortable with.
Why?
I just hate the app. Mm.
No. I get why you wouldn't be comfortable with time on it. Why are you spending more time on it?
I don't know. I have nothing better to do. Mm. I was on spring break. I was like, okay, cool. I'm gonna lie in bed.
February did unreasonable things to my screen time.
Yeah.
Like the amount of time I spent on my phone because of like...
Dude, it's hard.
Recording and editing videos and then posting and like...
Yeah.
Checking them spiked significantly, but also post-February for the last 2 weeks, I've had way more like of the remnant like phone screen tick attachment.
Yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
I'm checking my phone. It's been... 2 weeks since we did. It's been two weeks since we did February, and
God, they had to the sadness. I just had to do it.
5 days since I know the words to that song. I do. Totally.
I'm waiting to hear where you go with this point.
it's been. I just know the words to that song, and I know what it's called. That's all.
Okay.
It's been 2 weeks since February, and I have been like way more on my like if I'm not doing anything, I'm just like my
on your phone.
I'm just like, and I'm like,
yeah.
Much more often I wake up because I used to be really good about waking up and not looking at my phone for an hour or something, and now I wake up and my hands like I'm like. Maybe I'll just check. I just have to look. I just want to look at, it's nothing. I just like, and it's nothing. Like I want to like check my email or something, but I just got to look at my screen. Got to check my screen. Got to see what the screen says. And I think it's making content is horrible.
Dude, it rots your brain.
It rots your brain, which is crazy because it's kind of fun.
I hate it. It's fun, but it's just like, I hate it.
I wish I was a better person.
It makes me the worst version of myself where I'm like, how do I... either piss off the biggest number of people possible to get people to engage with this, or is all the work that I put into making a video or talking about something I love and I'm passionate about, was it wasted because some kid in the fucking comments is like, great video, dickhead, this one sucked. I'm just like, dude, what the fuck?
I wish I could take stuff less personally.
I just don't understand how people do it. I did it in college because I had nothing better to do.
I do think that as long, like, I get it. I feel so like if I'm completely 100% genuine in any video and I get a negative comment, I'm like, oh man.
Yeah.
I try real hard. But as long as I, like, as long as at least part of it is like a joke.
Yeah.
Or like a, like, if it, as long as I'm being like not completely serious and like a little trolly, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't get as upset when people comment on stuff, even if it's unrelated to that part.
I have a newfound respect for our friends who make content.
Shout out all my content creators.
Shout out all my influencer friends.
This one's about the content,
but
this,
like,
this one's for the influencers.
Shout out Clara, who makes a long-ass video basically every day.
Yeah, and gets a lot of shit.
She's a fucking grinder. Like, yeah. Clara, I know few people that are on the grind like her. I mean this completely seriously. I have so much respect for her. She's also just a normal, wonderful human being if you ever talk to her. Like, great person, right? I could not imagine exposing myself to like the worst people on the internet.
Yep.
Which you do just by virtue of being big every single day.
I think there's something nice about getting big enough that you can't even keep track of all your comments.
Yeah. I mean, like making those rage bait videos, which I did, what, four of? It was funny initially when I was seeing comments and I was like, oh, people are really mad. And then like a week later, I'm still getting like personal DMs like, fuck you, kill yourself. I'm like, guys, like, can we just let this go? Like,
have you started telling people it was a joke?
No. I just delete the message request. But it wears on you. So I think this also goes to a bigger thing that, again, I've talked about with other people and other people have noticed the same thing. The Instagram and TikTok algorithms reward hating, they reward negativity, and they reward like people getting angry or like being provoking. Yeah. And there's very few people who make content that is positive that get popular. If you look, a lot of men's fashion content is, I'm going to build an outfit that costs X. And people in the comments are like, why would you pay $3,000 for that piece of shit? That thing looks like a piece of shit. Like, ugh. Or it's, you know, three t-shirts that you need to buy, right? These videos. Yana, can you frame me like a TikTok? Like, right? Like, because people, again, get angry at that. And you throw in one to piss people off. But it's so much easier on the internet if you'd like to grow to just piss people off. It's why Dry You Garments puts the fucking chirp in every one of his videos, because it's easy and it pisses people off. It's why I don't even know the kid's name. Archive Reloaded wears that dumb mask and kind of talks with a weird inflection or like makes weird jokes. Like, that's why they do it. And
how did we get to this?
I'll steer it.
You're so bitter today, Saul.
I'm not bitter. I'm just remarking. It's upsetting that the powers that be, Instagram and TikTok, are so good at making people angry at one another.
Yeah, well, so I think the thing is that's not specifically something that's coded into any specific algorithm.
Okay.
The algorithm is not like, oh, this is gonna make people mad, send it to people. Or it's not like, oh, this is like,
my socks are so hairy.
Yeah, they're covered in Oscar
fur. God damn.
This is not like, it's not like, oh, like there's comments on here that say mean things.
No.
Clearly this is, it's just that it's kind of the way people are.
Yeah, people engage at higher rates.
Because of the way that people are, and especially the way people are on the internet,
yeah,
they want to, you only leave a Yelp review when you have a bad time.
That's not true. I leave really nice Yelp reviews.
Not you, but like, okay, in general.
I'm better than all of you.
I'm doing it in a way more positive and affirming way.
Yeah.
No, like, I take every like review of anything with a grain of salt, because my assumption is that a majority of people, especially like restaurants, I've never heard of a person. Very rarely do I hear of a person who's like, oh, that restaurant was great, I'm going to leave a Yelp review. But you do hear a lot about, this sucks, Yelp will be hearing about my experience. Like, it's like there's no, like, people are way more likely to express their opinion about something if they feel wronged.
Yeah.
If you see something you agree with, you're like, yeah, I agree with that. Double tap that shit, let's go to the next one. If you see something that you disagree with, you're like, oh, I got to tell this person why they're wrong.
I don't even think people double tap, though.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
People be watching. They don't be liking.
People be, I mean, again, if you'd like to grow in fashion, just piss people off.
Yeah.
Like, go and lie on the internet. It's very easy, but also just rest assured, you're going to have people in your fucking DMs telling you to kill yourself. That's the internet. Like,
and
you
that's
know,
the internet.
It hasn't changed since I was a little kid. You were on RuneScape scamming people.
Yep.
And, you know, first time I got scammed, I was like, please give it back. I'm 8 years old. And they were like, kill yourself, buddy. I was like, oh, man.
I think another important something I saw on the internet that's like it's important to remember as someone in your mid-20s, someone in my late 20s, it's important to remember a lot of the time when people are like spouting all sorts of crazy shit at you, or like telling you really weird opinions, or like like trying to force their like opinion on you, remember that they are probably 15.
Yeah.
And then just, you know, just, and even if they're not, I think keep in mind that they probably are. Just everyone saying anything dumb to you on the internet is 15. And then just ignore it.
I know a lot of people that say dumb shit on the internet that are like 23.
Yeah.
Let's be real.
It's not real, but it helps.
I don't love it, but I think it's really funny. People like being faux intellectuals because they know all the big words.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so funny to me.
Are we ever going to have a podcast where we're not like bemoaning the state of the internet?
But... I think it speaks more to the nature of fashion now. It's inextricably linked. Let's start a discourse about fashion being inextricably linked to the internet.
There are a lot of horrible things in the world and on the internet and in fashion, but there are also things that I really like.
Yeah, I'd be down to talk about that. Okay, so
there
cool.
is positivity in this world. Here's what we're doing. Things out
next
there.
Next hour. We're doing only positivity. Where's my phone? Because I got to shout out Lady Lamora.
Welcome, everybody, to the Pair of Kings Positivity Hour.
Yeah, all right. So we're doing Positivity Hour. We're back. Let me just mark this. Hold on. I'm gonna say that again. 32. All right. So welcome back to the Pair of Kings Positivity Hour. We're only saying nice shit for the next hour, as I swear. Anyway, Lady Lamora is really... Wait, what? What's going on here? Why can't I find them?
It's in my
is it Lebby? L-E-B-Y? It is. Sorry. It's Lebby Lamoria. I'm sorry. So they...
Can you spell this for me?
L-E-B-Y L-E-M-O-R-I-A. Make... I'm afraid I couldn't find anything about that. My
apologies. Siri was trying to listen to you. Sorry.
Cool. Hey, Siri. Is that going to work?
No.
Oh, bummer. Anyway, make really cool stuff. They work a lot with faux fur, but they'll shave designs into it.
Yeah, they
Yannick,
they do it
it'd be
in a
great
really
if you do Lebby
way.
Lamoria, like right up here. But recently, they've been selling a lot of their stuff, either to fund a move or not. But they have some really incredible things for like $180, which is ridiculous. Like, this is beautiful.
Yeah, that's insane.
I'm looking at a post. It says price decrease, $180. It is, we were born sick, one shoulder, oversized, hand-cut, faux fur, and hand-stitched detail jackets with metal grommets. Again, it's one of the more unique things I've seen. And I've sent it to so many of my friends. I think Fiona would kill something like this. I really think that you would enjoy.
Yeah, honestly,
like, even
you've
this
been
mask,
sending these to me. I have not been checking the prices. This is
okay.
Crazy.
I thought this is $60. Yeah. I don't understand why you haven't purchased that.
Because it would not fit on my big fat fucking head.
That's fair. All right. Yeah. That's very
based
fair.
In the Philippines.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
Really cool. Incredibly talented. I again like they've been. I followed them. I think now for 3 or 4 years. 3 maybe. Because I started following them back when I started the podcast, but. They've done some really incredible stuff that I haven't necessarily seen in a lot of other places. And I think that that's rare within fashion today to find somebody doing something like that. And on top of it, doing it quite well.
Yeah, it's very difficult to find like...
Beautiful.
Wow, that's insane.
Could you put up, Yannick, on October 30th, if you could, there's a white cropped jacket with layers sort of shaved into... I'll send it to you right now, but yeah.
It's very rare that I see something and I'm not immediately like, and I don't think this is a negative thing.
Mm.
Very often I will see someone's like startup brand and I'm like, oh, I can tell what designers you like.
Yeah, that's that.
Like I can tell what, like I can tell clearly who you like idolize.
Yeah.
And I think that's cool. And I think that that's sort of the way you start to find your own design language. Like,
yeah.
You are supposed to sort of knock people off.
Ooh, wait, maybe I will buy this.
Until you find something that you really like. That's beautiful.
It's $180. It's not that bad.
But it's really, really refreshing to finally see something where you're like, I don't know how you thought of that.
Yeah.
I haven't the slightest idea where you saw this, like...
or got the idea for it.
Yeah, where you got this, like, concept, and it's beautiful.
Yeah.
I
think it's super cool, and I think it with the rise of vintage and sourcing and things like that, finding old or vintage garments or pieces that are really unique is one thing, because going backwards in time almost ensures that you're finding not the first instance of that thing, but you're finding an earlier and less quoted or more rare version of said thing. Whether it be a Jean-Paul Gaultier jacket or a Chrome Hearts pair of pants or whatever it is. But to be making something in 2020, well, some of these things are older. They're 2019, but it doesn't really matter. I'm seeing them now. It is really rare to see such a unique, interesting, like, again, I couldn't list necessarily a designer that's doing what Lebby is doing at the moment, which is super cool.
And it's also like, there are often people I see who are doing something I've never seen before.
Yeah.
But in a way that I think is a little over-designed.
Oh, like they're putting on too many bells and whistles?
Yeah, and it's like...
Do you have a specific example? Again, positivity hour. However,
there's one brand that like my friend sent me or was working with that like I could tell what they were going for, but it was like too many panels, too many like
sure,
and like
sure.
You know you like I, it wasn't like
you're not being very positive right now.
I know. Well, so and like I think that thing that definitely
Michael
works.
Lasted 4 minutes.
No. I think that that's great for like I dress I think much more simple than that. Even if I dress in weird shapes, but not okay. Like not like space clothes.
Yeah.
And that's definitely for someone, but like
sure.
You know, I think it's very interesting to find someone who does something that I've never seen before, but also keeping it very simple and sure. Like not like over designing. I think one of my favorite like things that I see in a designer, and like one of my favorite this is more related to like more regular clothes. My favorite form of like new fashion designer is someone who like wanted something,
yeah,
either because it was out of their price range or like the exact thing they wanted didn't exist and they just start making that.
Yeah,
like this is, you know, they have this idea, this is something that I want, I'm kind of starting a clothing label, so I'm going to make it for myself, and then hopefully it gets big enough that I can also sell it to other people.
Yeah.
And that's like my favorite thing to see in a designer. And it's... I think that a lot of the people that we interview on this podcast are that genre of person.
Yeah.
They're like, you know, people who... we were talking to Trevor about it recently. Like, they'll keep making the stuff they like and want. Even if it doesn't sell that well, there's just this like, you know, there's got to be some stuff that is going to sell well. And you sort of have to like maybe dumb it down a little bit.
Sure.
Not dumb it down, but like make it more accessible.
Because you need to support everything else.
And the reasonable like everyday person is going to want something a little more regular. And that's fine for those people. But the designers that are like insisting on making the stuff that like committing truly to the stuff that they truly want to have
truly
is like, it's beautiful. That's what I'm looking for in like a new designer. That's what it's all about, baby.
Do you have any specific examples of designers that are doing just that?
I have been having a long conversation with Lac Demir, the guy who made this, and like one of the most recent things he made was a leather jacket.
Sure.
And it's because he wanted like this specific like kind of cropped boxy leather jacket, and you know, it was either completely inaccessible price wise or just wasn't quite what he was looking for.
Cool.
So he's been wearing the sample of that around for quite a while now.
Cool.
So he made it for himself, and then like they managed to do the sourcing in such a way that I don't know what the price is going to be like, but it's, judging by the last collection, likely to be a good deal more accessible than like buying the equivalent like Rick jacket or whatever. Not that it's not like a Rick jacket. But like, you know, buying the equivalent, like that high tier of brand.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be more accessible than that. And
without the designer markup.
Without the designer markup.
Yeah, no, I think that's really cool. And again, you have been wearing his clothes a lot, which is awesome.
Yeah, which is rare for me.
Yeah.
to get fixated like this on something that's not from a annoying brand.
It's been 8 minutes.
We're doing great. Positivity hour. Abe just found out, or Abe.
Oh, I mean, do you want to talk about it?
Yeah, I just, sure. I watched an Instagram video today that's like, funny games to gift your friends on Steam.
Yeah.
Should I even?
Maybe not.
There was a very heinous one.
Yeah.
There's a heinous one with a horrible title. It was $2. It's maybe the worst game concept I could ever think of. And I am friends with our friend Abe.
Abe's really nice.
On Steam, but I don't think I'm so rarely on Steam, he doesn't know my username, and I got rid of my full name and picture from my profile, and sure. I gifted it to him, and he just posted a screenshot in our Discord, and it says, wait, who even is this? I thought it was an old friend from a different server, but they're only friends with the nerds in here. Default profile pic, nothing in bio, no comments on profile. This is their whole friends list, and then tags the relevant people. It's not my Steam name is like AZ Scouse. It's not
Arizona
Scouse. It's because it's my dad and I used to share a Steam profile.
That's cool.
And he's a Scouser who lives in Arizona.
What is Scouse?
Scouse means he's from Liverpool.
Oh, okay, cool. Just keep gifting him copies of the same game.
They have not played a game since 2021. I haven't used Steam since 2021, back when I had a PC.
Nice.
If you're looking for some funny games to send people that cost like $1 to $2, I got some for you.
Yeah. One of them was Jerking Off in Class Simulator, which is insane.
Femboy Aim Helper or whatever.
Jesus Christ. That couldn't be real.
It's real.
Oh, amazing.
I literally, the one that I sent this guy is so bad that I don't even want to
say it
on the air.
That's fair. The new Ann D collection was really cool. And I'm usually not a Ann DeMuilemeester.
Oh. Because
I saw you have a book down there and I was like, oh my gosh. But
I don't think I've the like post Ludovic de Saint-Cernin one.
I believe so. It was surprisingly good. And I usually don't pay attention to Ann D because it's not really
for
me.
Do they have another boy designing?
I don't know, genuinely. I don't know much about it other than I was like, wow, that's kind of cool actually.
Because the last few like Ludovic de Saint-Cernin. Oh, you know what? Okay, I did really like this collection. The most recent, I remember this now. I liked the most recent Andy collection a lot. There was some things like I love the like oversized leathers.
Yes.
I think those are beautiful. I guess a lot of the leathers in here, like this like green.
This is look 11, Yannick. Would you be able to put that up?
This green blazer with the furry shoulders is beautiful. What I have been seeing is that the only people I see who don't
is
like
that
it.
Kate Moss? I can't tell.
I don't know. The only people I've seen online who are not big fans of the most recent Anne collection are like the Anne heads. Like
are their critiques with it?
And I would have to. We'd have to get one of them on here. I'm not qualified to.
Is Dylan an Andy head?
Dylan is an Andy head. She does not like this collection. And
should we give her a call right now?
Dylan, tell us what's wrong. I thought it was beautiful. I think the thing is that she thinks it's beautiful, but not.
Not Andy.
Not Andy. Ah, oh, damn it.
You got it. Michael's been
Abe
been
figured
revealed.
Out who sent him the game.
You should have changed your base name to like Steam Fan 101349 or something.
Yeah, I should have. Abe's number one fan. I should ask if he's played yet.
So while Michael's doing that, another vein of Instagram that I've tapped back into is the Japanese fishing scene.
Oh, you were just fishing. You went on your big fishing trip. Yeah.
Well, it wasn't just fishing. I also went skiing.
Skiing and fishing.
But there's a dude in Japan called Tenkaraholic, which is such a good name. But this dude, he fucking loves fishing. And like, here, Yannick, can you throw up Tenkaraholic? Anyway,
Oh, not like 10 cars. Not like 9 plus 1 cars.
No, 10 car is a type of fishing. It's Japanese. It's fixed length. Super cool. I have a rod.
Fixed length. So your like string is always the same length?
Yeah, your string don't change.
And there's no reel.
No. Just stick and line.
Real Animal Crossing style.
Yeah. Cool. This guy rocks though. I love Tinkaraholic. Anyway, I think it goes back to what Michael was saying earlier. I don't think there's a lot of cool fly fishing stuff. But
that's
because
it's fly fishing, dog. Sorry. Positivity hour.
He couldn't help himself. It's crazy. I'm the one being positive here. It's amazing.
No, that's a joke. I appreciate and love your admiration for fly fishing.
Michael hates and denigrates all of my hobbies. Because they're not esoteric and I can't wear black while doing them.
You can wear black while fishing?
No, not well.
What do you mean? They don't make good black fishing gear?
Not really. It just absorbs heat. You're going to be cooking out there. When was the last time you wanted to go like outdoors and just be sweaty? It's like standing around being sweaty.
I mean, it's been winter in New York. I'm ready to go outside and be sweaty.
I hate being sweaty. I would like, if anybody listening to the podcast,
Abe, you sent it when I was already at work. I'll try when I get home. Going to accept it publicly so everyone can see. How do you have 145 hours in Half-Life 2? How do I have 145 hours in Half-Life 2?
This is a fashion podcast, Michael.
My bad. You hate my hobbies because you can't wear waders while because there's no fish. You hate and denigrate my hobbies, like playing Half-Life 2 for 145 hours.
No, there aren't any fish in Half-Life 2. I was thinking through it.
There's one big fish.
Such a lame conversation we're having. Yep. I'm so sorry, everybody.
Sorry, guys.
So I went out drinking last night, which was really fun.
Thanks for the invite.
We invited Michael so many times.
Thank you for the invite. I am thanking you for the invite. Do you not hear me saying thank you?
I said to Michael, there's no way to utter those words in that sequence without sounding like you're being bitter. But Michael stayed in.
Saul was like half a mile from my apartment with our friends, and it was 11, and I was like, that's too late. I'm about to go to sleep. And then fucking 2 hours later, 1 a.m., 1:30, I had done nothing. But I was still awake. I was just like sitting on phone or some shit.
You sat on phone for 2 hours instead of coming out.
It was like,
Michael.
It was not on purpose. It was not on purpose.
Michael.
Positivity hour.
I am disappointed because I really wanted to see you last night.
Saul, do you think I'm pointed? Appointed? I'm disappointed too.
Oh, okay. Took me a second.
Do you think I'm appointed?
Jesus
I'm
Christ,
not.
The images going on in your computer are crazy right now. but talking about fashion, I think it is interesting. We have a couple of friends who are very dedicated to certain brands, like Russ with Yoji, basically, mm-hmm. wears it exclusively. I wouldn't say you're exclusively Rick and Balenciaga, but it's
I was exclusive.
90%, 93%. You got a little bit of Tom. You got a little bit of Gucci here and there.
I was Rick exclusive for like six years. 6 years? 5 years?
When did you decide to go poly?
Yeah, well, things were getting a little boring, so we decided to spice things up and start seeing other brands a little bit. Rick did some collabs. I got some Boris jeans.
Are you feeling okay about that?
Yeah, no, it's been it took a little adjustment, but it's been comfortable. We communicate openly, you know.
Do you ever share brands together, or do you keep them separate?
I don't, you know. I think there'd be a little jealousy involved. Well, actually, yeah. No, that's not true. I do mix.
You got
and match.
His ex. I mean, he hooked up with Doc Martin, and then you got.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I. I was exclusive for like 5 years
exclusive.
And then, more recently have like, well, so
I'm rubbing off on you.
Whoa, what? Chill. Pause. I've been wearing a lot more different brands lately, and I've also been wearing a lot of like brands that are very outside my wheelhouse.
Which would be?
Like Cozaburro.
That is, I think, exactly in your wheelhouse.
Big, it's in my wheelhouse now, but like big flared jeans with the like calligraphy print on them. I would not be caught dead in that shit like 3 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. You're growing up.
I am growing up.
Cool. When am I going to pigeonhole myself into one brand?
Well, you know, I did that for my like early 20s, so you better start soon.
Yeah.
But lately I've been looking at all of the like 2016 all of the 2016 like Rick Owens inspo albums.
The Babel stuff?
2019 was Babel.
The fuck. 2016. Fuck. I got so excited that I knew a Rick season off the top of my head. God and damn it.
No, not specifically a season. Not specifically the season 2016, but like in 2016, the album of like inspo stuff pictures that we all put together. And that was like, just like the usual, like I used to, you know, I didn't own a lot of Rick. So I'd just like Google like Rick Owens outfit and see what came up and sure. just like save a bunch of those like.
God, that must have been grim in 2017.
Well, yes. So looking back at some of them, there's some really bad ones. But
do you
also,
do you have any like on hand?
I'll show you some later.
All right, Yannick, we'll include you in this. Throw up some of the horrendous inspo images, please.
I'll send some of the horrendous inspo images. There's also some pictures from back in the day of like street style outfits that have had such a like deep, lasting impression on my style. And I've been reminiscing about the old Rick style I used to aspire to. And I've been dressing like that a lot lately.
Okay.
Like I've been getting...
Return to form sort of thing?
Yeah, I've been getting back into the like very sporty classic Rick stuff that previously... That like I sort of forgot about for a few years.
Okay.
A lot of like sneakers and like basketball shorts and shit.
I don't know if there are any street style images that I could point to that have been really like stuck in my brain. I must dress like this. These are super transformative.
There's two or three I could show you that are still good. There's probably 10 or 20 I could show you that are actually really bad. And there's a really upsetting amount of good ones that I could show you that are Mike Nouveau.
Interesting.
Mike Nouveau, the watch guy.
The watch guy.
A lot of my old like inspo pictures I have realized were him when he was not dressing in like the same shit every day. When he was like a Paul Harden, Rick Owens,
we're doing positivity hour. That was hard for me.
I really appreciate, you know what? There's some of the, not like Paul Harden specifically, but there's some of those like Alina Dawson, Paul Harden, peasant core type dudes that I really think do a great job with it.
I've seen some outfits in those clothing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's bad outfits in everything.
No, I've just seen, I'm not being negative. I've seen some outfits. I have come across them.
They are outfits.
They are outfits. Yep. I've seen them with my eyeballs.
I don't know. I think the Oliver Twist look can be kind of tight.
Oh, there's so much stuff I want to comment on that's kind of me being a dick. not even in that.
Positivity hour.
We're being happy. Damn it, because I want to talk to you about that. Okay. That's fine.
We'll do it later. I don't want to hear it. I want positivity. Tell me one nice thing about a Paul Harden suit.
It's got nice buttons.
Cool.
The wool seems nice.
Yeah. Materials. Mm-hmm. Good construction.
The wool seems nice.
You don't think the construction's nice?
The wool seems nice. I won't be baited. I'll only say nice things.
Well, damn.
I've been reading a lot recently.
Been reading June.
I read Anthony Bourdain's new book, or not new book, excuse me. It's Medium Rare, I believe it's called.
Mm.
Great book. Oh, he's a fantastic writer. He comments a lot on fashion, or not a lot, but he comments a couple of times on fashion and how it's, and it's sort of analogous with cooking, it's easy to lose sight of like what is considered normal.
Mm.
And he's like, yeah, if Donatella Versace showed up at your door trying to get you to wear some of her clothes, you'd scream and slam it in her face, right? If you were like normal human being who didn't know who Donatella Versace is.
Yeah. Honestly, I know who she is. I'd probably still scream.
Yeah. Yannick, can we get Will You Please Free My Palestine Donatella Versace underneath? That's all-time image. You've never seen that? Hold on. Yannick, still throw it up while I pull it up. But I do think it is relevant. Like, you know, we've been to runway shows and we've seen really cool outfits on the runway and people dressed for it. And I always think it's interesting to see the, not necessarily the disconnect, but the difference in people that show up and who is sitting in the front row and what they are wearing. Because I think, and again, Bourdain says this, but hold on, I need to focus on typing. Essentially, it's an interesting, like, would you wear this to your day job? Maybe yes, no.
I would.
You would. But in a lot of cases, no. And I do think fashion is, in some extent, performance and an occasion, somewhat costume. But I do really like people that it's just like that's just what they wear. I constantly kind of dress like shit. I'm also realizing that a lot of guys in New York City dress almost like me, but I have a lot less chest hair. So I think the outfits don't hit the same.
You think you need more chest hair?
Yeah.
Start it. Start working on it. Get Rogaine for your chest. Kind of grow that pelt out.
Dude, I have such a pathetic amount of chest hair. It's like the wispy mustache that kids grow in high school. I mean, like, that's it.
I guess that's more pathetic than my complete lack of chest hair.
Here, okay, yeah. So Bella Hadid posted this photo that says, "Will you free my Palestine?" And Donatella Versace just comments, "Donatella Versace." Incredible.
That seems, you know, it's kind of like a Pokemon or like Groot type scenario where, like, you know, it means certain inflection or emphasis means different things.
Sure.
That's sort of how Donatella Versace talks. She's like, "Donatella Versace," and they like bring her coffee, and then she's like, "Donatella Versace," and they're like, "But this is how you always like it."
Yeah.
I've
said nothing new in the past 6 minutes. Let's get a new thought out of my brain. That God, it's hard when I'm not hating at all.
I like positivity hour. I like positivity. I like I like Pair of Kings when we're positive. Positivity of Kings. Positivity.
So the amount of men's issei that I see out for sale is kind of ridiculous. In some of these like New York vintage stores.
Yeah, I don't see a lot of people wearing issei.
No, but it's all for sale. And I don't understand because it gets cleared out. I don't understand who's buying up all of these slightly overpriced issei in New York.
I do see a lot of people in, I guess I occasionally will see someone who wears like a full issei suit.
Like I don't see that.
The pleat suit.
I genuinely have not seen a pleat suit. I haven't seen pleats other than on my grandmother's friend Kyoko and Ari.
A lot of people wear the pants.
I still haven't seen those.
No. A ton of people, and sometimes it's hard to tell if they're wearing like some sort of like newer companies like, you know, knockoff of it. But I see a lot. It was like a really big thing in like sort of more refined streetwear. I wouldn't really know how to put that. The streetwear that's a lot of like, there's like Instagrams for like classy streetwear, and it's like, you know, beige trousers and like tucked in t-shirts and like a boxy overshirt and like some jowned Reeboks.
Like the minimalism guys?
Yeah, but like in like a minimalism streetwear.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of those guys were wearing that. And then I feel like I've seen like spreading more into the like streetwear, but not like capital S streetwear.
Yeah. Sorry, my nose feels like it's bleeding.
It's not bleeding.
Great.
Like a lot of the like lowercase S streetwear guys, which I don't even know how to like put that into readily recognizable terms. You know it when you see it. We're wearing those with like sneakers and t-shirts.
Yeah. I just, again, like there are some really cool vintage stores in, and I say vintage, they're not thrift, in New York City. Like I think Laura Kalesi is cool. I'd like to speak with them because I think they source things well. I think things are a little bit expensive, but it's cool to go look. I like James Valoria. They sometimes get quite cool stuff. They had like a cool Babel jacket shirt that
from
I've never
2016.
Yeah. He says condescendingly, "Positivity hour, Michael."
Positivity hour, my bad. We can riff in positivity hour.
I'd never seen. It's like an apricot color, but I hadn't seen that shirt in that, and then I wasn't able to find it online.
Oh, I know the color.
Big flowy arms.
Big flowy arms.
Yeah.
What kind of shirt was it?
I think it's called a windsock shirt.
I know the color. The color, it's like a salmon-y color. Yeah. I forget what the name of it is, which is, I'll be exiled for this.
Somebody with a shaved head painted white comes to Michael's door and shoots him in the face.
Carnation.
Positivity hour. I apologize. Kisses him on the forehead.
Yeah, Fade, whatever his name is.
Fade Rautha?
Fade Rautha comes here, kisses me on the head, and then kills me. Yeah, so...
Yannick, just for context, so that I didn't do that noise like a psychopath, can you put that clip of Fade Rautha yelling in the tunnel? Thank you so much. I just don't want to see him unhinged.
You can see him unhinged. It's fine. We all know what's going on. Yeah, I know what's going on. That's okay. What matters. We all being me and you, the only two people in this room.
Is this the Pair of Kings podcast in the room with you right now?
Is the Pair of Kings podcast in the room with you? Is the Pair of Kings podcast listenership in the room with you right now? No.
I sure hope not. I'm so, like, I have, like, Sunday scaries, but I'm not anxious about anything other than am I giving a shit podcast right now? I'm so sorry, everybody, if I am.
I got the Saturday scaries where I'm scared that tomorrow I will do a bad podcast.
Is it Saturday?
No, it's Sunday. But the Sunday scaries happen, I guess. Yeah, the Sunday scaries happen because of Monday.
Oh, I think I just have anxiety right now.
Yeah. You know what? The Sunday scaries are like, you know, 8 p.m. on a Sunday. And you're like, fuck, what have I done with my weekend? Tomorrow I have to go to work for another 5 days.
I'm fucking in grad school. I don't give a shit.
I'm off tomorrow.
I'm functionally unemployed.
Yeah.
God damn it. I have school tomorrow and it's St. Patrick's Day.
Today is St. Patrick's Day.
I'm an idiot. All right, never mind.
Is it?
I don't know.
The 17th, right? Yeah. Today's St. Patrick's Day.
I know way more about Ireland than so many people in New York.
I know the...
Great book
about... I know the lyrics to that song.
Which song? Go on.
Just, you know, the Bare Naked Ladies one.
I know so much about...
I'm just reminding you.
Oh, okay. Great book called Say Nothing about the rise of Sean Fain and the troubles in Ireland. If you'd like to read about it, it's beautifully written.
I don't think anyone currently out celebrating St. Paddy's Day is
aware of Sean
really,
Fain.
Really, yeah, knows that name, understands the concept of the troubles as like a literal, like,
the
era.
Most annoying guy you know voice at a bar with a bunch of people day drunk. Hey, so have you heard about the troubles?
Like, people ordering Irish car bombs and you're like, oh, hold on. Hold on a second.
Am I the worst guy in New York?
No, because I'm here. But you're close.
I'm getting there, baby.
It's you know, I've just had a few more years of being annoying here. I'm up on you. No, I don't particularly think anyone even like a Irish a person talking about how Irish they are in New York probably is not really up on their like Irish heritage in that way. They're Irish in like a Boston way.
Okay. Those guys are, I love Boston. Like,
that's crazy.
It's a city that's just so committed to just like, it's so set in its ways. And all the guys from South, you kind of dress the same. They all act the same. St. Patrick's Day in Boston is like going to war. I mean, yeah. Like, there's a parade, and every year along the parade lines, there are reports of people like, people break into my house to shit in my bathroom, or people poop on my car.
Why so much poop?
I don't know. I worked in City Hall, and we had so many calls. It was like, can we please reinforce the... like parade lights. It wasn't even in my department.
Can we please reinforce the no pooping on lawns law?
It's like, I love Boston. I like Boston sports have a horrendous reputation. Think tiki torches and January 6th. I personally haven't encountered that too violently. I think Philadelphia is worse. Their fans are more racist, but Boston sports fans are very avid, very committed, love the Celtics, go C's, probably going to clinch first spot in the playoffs. I love Boston, and it is a city that is basically devoid of fashion, and I don't understand how it got there. There's so much money in that city, but nobody dresses.
Right. It's such a specific type of person. I don't know. Positivity hour.
No, I think it's interesting. I'm not being negative. It's just devoid of like an interesting fashion scene.
Just being like, you know no hate, but I think it's really interesting how you have zero swag.
It's swag in like consultant swag.
Yeah, because it's like a city full of consultants.
And people in biotech. But again,
biotech,
like,
not a swagged out career field.
Really?
Yeah, I'm the only one. And I'm not working in biotech anymore.
I'm the only one.
I am the one.
I just don't understand it. Like, it's... Actually, I will say this. So Boston loves a committee. There's a committee about a committee about a committee. You know what I mean? Mm. And there's so many things holding that city back from having a vibrant culture, mostly in that... I don't know when I took your Crocs, but they're really comfortable.
I've been watching you take and untake them for the last, like, 20 minutes. You keep putting your feet in my Crocs. It's fine. I got more.
There's so many roadblocks to getting anything done in that city. And there's like laws from Puritan times that were just like, fuck the Irish, no drinking at all. You know, we're pure. Like, I don't understand why you can't have happy hour in Boston. I don't understand.
You can't?
Nope.
That's so funny.
It is illegal. And you can't have anything similar to
is
it.
Yeah. So like, it's
bars
not even
close
like,
at like 11.
Yeah. I've been to Boston once. I was there for a weekend.
Yeah, I could take you. I mean, if
at a convention.
Yeah.
And we would like go to this convention and then we would get out kind of late, like 10 p.m. And we'd be like, all right, let's find dinner. Two or three nights in a row, we went to the same exact like fancy pizza restaurant near the convention center because that
was. Is it Heinz Convention Center? Which pizza place? No, you're Boston.
I think it
man.
Was like northeast-ish area. It was across. It was east of the river.
East of the river.
Am I? Maybe I'm backwards.
There's
maybe
north and south. What? East of the river is the water.
Shit, dog.
So we're going to be going up to Boston. I'm going to take Michael to all the favorite places. Maybe I'll take you to like a Southie bar and you can just watch guys fight each other.
I don't
know. It's kind of like going to a gladiator pit.
Saul and I are tentatively returning to his homeland tomorrow. Not tomorrow. The next weekend. I'm going to meet the grandparents. And then we're going to go to a video
the next
game
stage
convention.
Of podcasting.
Yeah. You might meet my mother when she's in town in 2 weeks.
Really?
Yeah, if you want to.
Hell yeah.
We'll see what we get up to.
Oh, I should bring you to a Celtics game.
Is that happening?
I believe so. We'd be up there on what, a Friday?
Friday to Sunday, probably.
Yo, if you want to meet us at PAX East, shoot us a message. I don't know if anybody who listens to the podcast is from Boston. Further reinforcing it's
or
a city
if this
with no
will
drip.
Be out.
It should be. I'm going to make you listen to this shit so many times in the car. Where is this? Oh, here. Anyway.
I can't hear it. But also, are we allowed?
I think 10 seconds is fine. There it goes.
Oh, yeah. No, of course.
Yeah.
That's what I... the last time I drove up to Boston with Cam, I was listening to... That the fucking
Drop
shipping up
Murphy's.
To Boston, yeah.
Yeah,
they play on St. Paddy's Day every year in Boston.
Yeah,
yeah. What's the other Irish band?
You too.
There's Dropkick Murphys, and then there's like another like Tony Hawk's Pro Skater type Irish ska band that I get. You know what I mean?
No,
You would, if I say that the Dropkick Murphys are a Tony Hawk Pro Skater Irish ska type band, you know what I mean.
No, they're a Boston Red Sox, Boston Celtics. I'm getting drunk off kind of shitty beer.
Can you not picture doing like on a PS2 doing like a completely impossible, like weird, like grind around
the Dropkick
of a building?
To, I'm
yeah,
shipping up
playing?
To Boston? Yeah. Not at all.
I'm pretty sure that song was in Pro Skater.
Let's see. I'm happy to be wrong.
That is such a Tony Hawk Pro Skater 4 type beat.
Let's look at the Pro Skater 4.
I mean, maybe not specifically 4. But like
TNT, Labor, Bloodstain, Simple Song, Mantham, Bad Fun, Oodles of O's. No, it's not on there.
Tony Hawk's Underground.
Oh, that would make sense. Is that the one that you could play as Shrek?
I don't know. I think people just custom made Shrek, didn't they?
I thought it was a legitimate part
Tony
of
Tony Hawk's American Wasteland, the song Who Is Who. I don't know what that is, but like Dropkick Murphys for sure. And they were also on Dave Mirra Freestyle BMX.
I have no idea who's Dave Mirra.
Dave Mirra is an old BMX rider for cool. Like Haro. He had the only like BMX video game that's ever been made, and it was on PS1.
Interesting.
Shipping Up to Boston was on NHL 11.
Yeah, that would make sense. The Patriots are in that game.
Yeah. It was also on Rock Band 2 as DLC.
Sick.
Yeah, there was... What is the Irish punk song that you hear the most on skateboarding and snowboarding videos? Reddit.
Yeah. Reddit? What is it?
Shipping Up to Boston.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Oh, there's so much shit.
Flogging Molly.
Oh, yeah.
That's the other Irish... That's the other Tony Hawk Pro Skater type beat Irish punk band.
Yeah.
What? I'm pretty sure there's a Flogging Molly song on...
This conversation fucking sucks.
I think it's great. Positivity Hour.
Okay, yeah, Positivity Hour.
Yeah, Tony... Drunken Lullabies was on Tony Hawk Pro Skater 4. And I get that. I'm sorry to Boston, the entire city of Boston, and the entire country of Ireland, but I get Flogging Molly and Dropkick Murphys confused.
What's the equivalent of being xenophobic but against Irish people?
I think it's xenophobic.
Okay.
I'm plenty of my friends are
you're
Irish.
You're also British, I'm British, which makes this worse.
I just get the two bands confused.
I wouldn't get in a car if I were you for a little bit.
That's fucked up.
Should we cut that?
Nah, you're fine.
Positivity Hour. It's crazy the amount of clothing brands like popping up in New York City. I mean, it's really remarkable, yeah. Especially in that Orchard Street area.
It, you know, I think a lot of like people want to be a part of that scene. More and more people want to be a part of that scene, and more people want to be like, I don't know. And it makes sense, you know. I think if you have the resources in some way to do it, you want to like try your luck at it.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool. I love a little startup. Stuff is expensive. Stuff is really fucking expensive. I haven't walked into a store and seen something and been like, oh, cool. Flipped over the tag and be like, wow, great price. Like,
yeah, that only happens to me online.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of the brands without like physical storefronts, because physical storefronts, I mean,
physical, yeah, they cost a lot. I understand. You got to make
rent.
Especially
in that area, like they are insanely expensive. But like I mean, I'm kind of like poisoned by like the prices of so many of the brands that I'm interested in. Poisoned by the fact that they're completely out of my reach. Yeah. And occasionally I will like, you know, I'll look at a smaller brand or like especially one of the brands we talk to. And I'm like, wow. Like I looked at, I have like a perception in my mind of what things cost. And then like I looked at Fugazi stuff. Really well priced.
Yeah, not bad.
It's the limitation there is like being able to buy it before other people do.
I think a good example is Story MFG, where their prices are high, but it reflects the intense amount of work that goes into the
right
creation of the item itself. I really want their Natural Resources pullover. I have to see if that's available right now because I want to buy that.
Yeah.
I've been trying to buy less to resell. There was a thing recently where a bunch of vet samples went up for sale and like Sunday service stuff. And I was like, they'd be easy flips.
Yeah. The vet stuff, maybe. I don't know about Sunday service.
Sunday, sir. I mean, the shirts were $50.
The Kanye West, like samples and some of his warehouse stuff is being liquidated essentially. Mm-hmm. Like his like archive of vet and Balenciaga stuff, not all of it, and only some of it says Yay 24 on it, is being liquidated. Like the smaller things are going through the Los Angeles Apparel
Depop
samples Depop, which aside from the Kanye stuff, I think you should look at if you are going to buy anything from LA Apparel,
first of all, fuck LA Apparel.
Right. But if you want to buy,
let's see,
anything from them, go to the Depop Samples website they have, because
they accept any offer you send.
They accept the lowest lowball offer, and they also, like, they sell some really good, like, not really messed up.
The page is Los Angeles Apparel Samples, literally, yeah, all one word.
But because Dove Charney is working for Kanye now or something, they're liquidating a lot of the, like, stuff through that. So I got a Vetmont t-shirt for like $60.
It's all Sunday Service stuff.
And then there's a lot of, like, all of the Sunday Service, like, costume department, I guess. Yeah. Like, anything that was used for us, which, like, a lot of that's weird looking, like,
somebody bought robes. The silver, like, overshirt thing.
The where Kanye was, like, spray painted silver.
Yeah.
They put that up for $50. And then less
I'm trying to find it.
The more, like, expensive stuff, but still going for a fairly reasonable price, is on Enigma Curation Grailed.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, why?
I feel like they mark up like crazy.
Enigma Curation?
Yeah.
It was, I don't even know what Enigma Curation is. It's like, trust me, the stuff on there is expensive, but the stuff that they're selling is, like, pretty hard to find.
Interesting.
But it's only the really, like, heavy hitter stuff that's getting sent there.
Why are they doing it through Enigma Curation?
I don't know. Just I think that person does, like, archiving for Kanye. Fuck Kanye, by the way. But
yeah, fuck Kanye.
If you want to get some cheap vet, it's not like you're really making that much of an impact.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, holy shit. They have some really weird stuff. What the hell?
On what?
A lot of, like, Yeezy Season 9. Like, weird.
Yeah, weird shit.
Whoa.
What I really want to show up, there is one Yeezy by Gap, Yeezy Gap engineered by Balenciaga item.
Sure.
That I really wanted when it came out. Partially because, well, the Yeezy Gap engineered by Balenciaga stuff has almost nothing to do with Kanye.
Okay, sorry, yes. I'm just following, like, the 16-word phrase.
It's,
got it.
It's, you know, the Yeezy Gap stuff was one thing, and then there was, like, the first round of that,
and then there was,
like, a second round where Demna was designing it all, basically.
Yes.
A lot of that stuff was cool, but it sucks that you have to get it with, like, the Kanye Dove on the back or whatever.
Yeah.
They have some samples of that on the LA Apparel thing. What I want to really show up, there is a 2016 there's a jumpsuit from 2016 Vetmont.
Okay.
That Demna designed.
Sure.
It was in orange, because it was a tribute to the Slipknot jumpsuits.
Cool.
You know, Slipknot performs live in this jumpsuit every time. So Demna
Yana,
made
can
his
we get Slipknot jumpsuit, thank you.
Demna made his own version of the Slipknot jumpsuit.
Sure.
In 2016 for Vet, and then he re-released it in 2022 through Kanye Balenciaga.
Got it.
So there is a jumpsuit that is essentially the Slipknot jumpsuit three times removed.
Sure.
Twice removed. Designed by Demna, that I really wanted from that Gap collection, and I was like, no one's going to buy it. I'll wait till it gets super cheap. And then they pulled everything.
Yeah.
Because Kanye fucking went...
Sucks.
Sucks. And so, like, I never got my chance to buy it.
Yeah.
And I'm praying that it shows up on that samples page for $50.
Let me know if any weird pants show up. I wear a lot of jeans, and I think I need to diversify slightly.
Yeah. I really have been trying to track down the perfect pair of, like, loose, flowy, but not dress pant, but not jeans kind of, like, pant.
Like a viscose?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Basket Case Gallery ones that I got are pretty close to it. Like wide, but not like uncomfortably long and impossible to wear like so many of my big pants are. Not that I don't like that, because I'm whatever. But I've been on the quest for the perfect pair of, like, cozy everyday pants.
Interesting. Yeah, I just wear my jeans every day.
Yeah, and I probably would end up doing that even if I found my cozy everyday pants.
Yeah.
So it goes.
I'm having a lot of trouble finding, like, good basic t-shirts that are not made by a company that supports slave labor.
Yes.
Like, I don't know why it's so difficult.
Do you know, and I don't know if they make t-shirts, do you know Velour Garments?
No.
Sorry,
I have a slightly visceral reaction whenever Garments is in the name of a positivity hour.
Velour Garments, I think, would be a good place to look.
Okay.
I actually don't know where they make their stuff, but let's see. Spain.
Hmm.
They do very like the trick with velour garments is that they're affordable, but they're always sold out.
Like, okay.
They do drops, and you have to just like have your email ready to go, unfortunately. Yeah. But like, they do a lot of really nice heavyweight hoodies for $70.
Damn.
Like, I tried my friends on, and I thought it was a Rick hoodie when I tried it on, and then it like it feels very much like that same material that Rick uses for his sweatshirts.
Okay.
And I've been sort of eyeing up the like black zip up one, but that obviously is the one that sells out the most. Oh, it's still. Oh no, that's a full zip. They have ones that zip all the way up, like Bape style. And then they have ones that stop at the neck.
Do you want the full zip?
No, because I would. I don't think they're the worst thing in the world, but I can't wear them with my hair.
That makes sense.
My hair gets caught on zippers. Yeah, there is only extra, extra large left of the black one.
That'd be kind of funny.
Yeah. But yeah, they make like really nice basics. I think the t-shirts are like $40.
Yeah.
Which is expensive, but
it's expensive.
Oh no, 30.
I don't want to be supporting Uniqlo anymore.
The lighter weight shirts are $30, which like is about what a t-shirt costs now. Yeah, if you don't want to have like a horribly made garment.
Garment.
I would recommend looking at velour garments. Cool. I think they might have what you're looking for in terms of basics.
Cool.
The quest for the like well made but not overpriced but not horribly like unethically manufactured basic is a rough one.
Yeah, shockingly. It's become so much easier to start a fashion label, and you have all these people who go abroad and make these videos of like, what is the MOQ in your factory? Like, how much would this cost if I had 100 pieces made? And like,
are we being positive?
Yeah, I think people are surprised when they're like, yeah, that's cool that making 10 sweaters costs $11.
Yeah.
It shouldn't. That's not what that should cost. Let's put on our critical thinking hats. Yannick, if you could, critical thinking hat, fake on my head. Why do these sweaters cost $10 to make at very low scale? Let's examine. Let's open our eyes. Let's put on the critical thinking hat. There's a shortcut being taken here. There's somebody being exploited. I don't know.
I think we're unfortunately leaving the positivity hour for a good reason, but yeah, we're leaving the positivity hour.
Yeah.
So it goes.
Fashion's crazy. I feel like there's going to be a pushback to sustainability. There's going to be some like heinous pivot. People like the edgy thing. Like, yeah, fuck it. I'm not. You know, this is going to be super wasteful. It's ostentatious. I don't know exactly what it's going to be.
Shout out Haunted Starbucks.
Okay.
They made a bunch of like heinous knockoffs of DC shoes, but instead of DC, they say HS.
Cool. I'm going to look this up.
And that obviously doesn't fly. And DC legal team was swift and shut it down before it even happened.
Sure.
So they made all of these shoes. They made like several hundred pairs of DC shoe knockoffs. And got ordered by DC to destroy them.
Sure.
And they posted about it, and enough of their like fans commented, and then there was a big pushback back to DC to like basically to let them give them away.
Sure.
So that all of their like samples that were supposed to be, or not samples, all of their production ones that were supposed to be destroyed have just been like distributed to various charities around the area.
You know what? Based as hell. Good for them.
Based as hell. Shout out Haunted Starbucks.
Yeah. They've gotten really big. Jesus
Christ. Yeah,
they've
gotten huge.
Not affiliated with Starbucks in any way. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, I do. I appreciate that. So.
It sounded like you were going to say something else.
No, your dairy relief pills fell out of your pocket.
Thanks, yo. I'd be shitting my pants without these. Shout out Jews.
This.
Lactose intolerant, baby.
This podcast was brought to you by CVS Health Dairy Relief Lactase Enzyme Digestive Supplement. If you be shitting.
The CVS ones don't work that well. I still be farting like crazy with these. What's Lactaid works.
I wonder what the difference is. Like,
I don't know. Don't get the cut rate dairy relief because you're going to be tooting all day. These kind of suck.
It should. That always, like, it should be the same active ingredient.
Also, child, like, these are supposed to be child locked. Like, you just spin it, it comes off.
In which Saul proves that he is not a child.
No,
congrats.
I'm just saying, if you just spin it, like, the child lock isn't effective.
25-year-old man proving that...
24, first of all.
24-year-old man proving that the... It's this. It's... Oh, yeah, so this one's...
See?
I think you gotta... You gotta... A broken... No, you just need to screw the lid on tighter. If I was a child, I would not be opening this right now.
If you're a child, right? That's open, right? Like, that's not hard. That's really easy.
Okay, and like, who the fuck cares if the kid gets lactase enzymes?
That's what I'm saying. Like, if this is the CVS default bottle, what if I'm putting, like, I don't know, Ambien in here, right? What if on my in my minivan on the way to drop Braxton off at soccer, and I have white wine in my Stanley cup
and 16 Valium
in my dairy relief bottle, right? And little Braxton in the back seat, who's an idiot, decides to wash down some Stanley cup white wine.
I think the thing is you know how to open this bottle. I do think that, like, a little 3-year-old would not have the, like, idea in his head.
Okay, so if my pills weren't in here, I'd spike this against the ground as hard as I could. Chances are it'd pop open, right?
Right, but as hard as you can is not a 3-year-old. You don't have a grasp on how strong a 3-year-old is.
I guess I don't. I don't have a 3-year-old in my life. If anybody would like to lend me a 3-year-old, I need to run some experiments.
we'll do it. There'll be, like, Skittles in there, you know? Some nothing harmful.
Oh, it'll be like a reward system. Do I have a cut on my head? I feel like it's slightly burning when I press the bottle in real hard. Okay, cool.
So what we're trying to say is that the childproof locks maybe not childproof enough. If you have a child and you would like to contribute to science, do you think they test these with children? Do you think that this has been like focus grouped?
I don't know. I mean, like,
because this is probably a legal requirement, right?
What would be the equivalent challenge? How could I dumb myself down to a 3-year-old's level? Like, do I get one finger?
No, you give it to a 3-year-old.
I don't have access to a 3-year-old.
I'm not saying you. I'm saying, has the general, like, is this... This is probably some sort of FDA requirement past a certain level of, like toxicity or something.
Sure.
Has this... Can you overdose?
Doctor,
enzyme?
Please. My kid is taking too much lactose enzyme. He's chewing through this breast milk too effectively.
Plan is simple. Pagliacci, the dairy cow, is in town.
What?
Oh, man. You don't know that one?
No.
Pagliacci the clown?
I don't know what the fuck that is.
Oh, man. That joke, that fucking whiffed.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Everyone else got that and thinks it's really funny. Can you hear them laughing?
Yeah, I can hear the deafening silence of a confused 17-year-old listening to our podcast.
I think Zoomers know about Pagliacci the clown.
Who the fuck is Pagliacci the clown?
Do you want me to explain it to you?
No, I think it's funnier if I'm living in ignorance.
Okay, cool. Did you never see Watchmen?
I did. Why are you fucking with me?
Plan is simple. Go see Pagliacci the clown.
But I've read it so many times.
Bro, you have not read it very well. It's like the opening scene.
Is it?
Yeah.
In the movie?
Yeah. Where he's talking. Do you want me to tell it to you? It's also become.
It's become a huge
Twitter joke as well.
Yeah. Okay, I know this one. Yep.
It's a huge thing on Twitter.
Yes.
Pagliacci the dairy cow. But doctor, I...
Yeah. But doctor, I am. Okay. This is just way too easy to open. A 3-year-old would have to be really stupid.
3-year-olds are really stupid.
Are they?
Yeah, they're dumb as fuck. 3-year-olds don't know nothing about nothing.
I think you underestimate a 3-year-old.
I think you... Maybe. I don't know anything about kids. But also, like, you know, it's not meant to, like, permanently stop a kid. It's just so that, like, it's to give you enough time to get over there.
You cannot stop a kid in a way that matters.
You cannot stop me in a way that matters. You cannot kill me in a way that matters. And that's that.
If your apartment was on fire and you could run in and only save five pieces of clothing, cats are out of the building. You're going back in. What are you saving?
Man, don't do this to me because I frequently have this fear.
So hypothetically, when you leave your apartment and I leave the oven on and
what
the cats
are things
are safe,
I'm running in and grabbing?
Yeah. Fiona's got all her stuff out. It's just your stuff.
Man, leather moody shorts, elephant boots. Oh, God damn, man. I hate this question.
Yep, you got three more.
Mastodon body bag.
Okay.
Kiss heels, maybe.
Okay.
And Mastodon cargo pants.
I now have the list of what I'm stealing from Michael. That'll have him most upset.
No, I very often I'm like, I like think about this idea of like, well, obviously the first thing I ever think of when like I think of the concept of my apartment being on fire is the cats.
Yeah, of course.
Because that's like the actual important thing here. But like, and then I'm like, that like the idea of like this fire approaching and like I'm like, oh fuck, is it like fucked up if I put a bunch of clothes in a suitcase right now?
I mean, as opposed to what, once the cats are safe?
No. Like cats are safe, whatever. But, like, is it, like, materialistic if my first thought is, like, oh, my God, all of my clothes?
What else would you save in an apartment?
Myself.
Duh, but,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, but, like, I mean, like, is it... You're so negative today.
No, I'm just saying, like, is it materialistic to try and save the things that you care about? Absolutely not.
Is it materialistic that the things I really care about are clothes?
It's an interest in a hobby.
Yeah, it's fair enough.
Somebody would save their coin collection. You could say that that's even more materialistic.
I think about this really, like, I can't imagine what I would do if I didn't have my clothes to put on every day.
Be naked.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just let me think
Welcome to Jackass. We're burning down Michael's apartment.
Let me think about whether it's materialistic or not without being condescending about
it. I'm not being condescending. I'm saying it's not. I'm supporting you as a friend. I'm validating your hobby and your love of your things.
In a thanks for the invite kind of way.
I'm sorry. I'm getting called condescending.
You're fine. Parakings Positivity Hour has crashed.
It's
but
burning.
We tried.
What are we running in and saving for the Positivity Hour?
I like the part where we were being nice.
Well, it's been over an hour now.
It's been... Speaking of, my song of the week is the Yetz Ben by Bare Naked Ladies.
What's the name of the song?
One,
I don't know.
1 week.
1 week? Okay.
I think. I know the name of the song and the lyrics.
Mine is Me, Myself, and I by De La Soul.
Okay, tight. That is it. Yep. I was going to do a clip song because I was listening to a lot of clips the other day, but we're doing 1 week by the Bare Naked Ladies.
Yetz Ben.
Yetz Ben. That's been the Pair of Kings podcast.
I want to find the Daft Punk leather jacket so bad.
Oh, we almost made it through a whole podcast without that.
I want to bring it up during Positivity Hour so Michael can't denigrate me for saying it.
It's too late. We're past Positivity Hour. Yeah, I think we've covered the bases.
I found the perfect... Not the perfect, but a great leather jacket that fits me super well. Looks great with my pants, shit like that. It's from Visvim. Guess how much they're trying to charge for it?
$6,000.
Oh, baby.
$10,000?
Oh, not even close.
$20,000?
Okay, you're a little bit overshooting.
$15,000?
It's like $16,500.
Oh, my God.
Vile and disgusting and weird. Why would you even have that out at a store? Why would you have that out at a store?
Positivity Hour. Don't you fucking dare charge $16,000 for a leather jacket, but also you went into Visvim and tried on a leather jacket, dog. I don't know what you were expecting.
It wasn't even at Visvim. It was at Standard and Strange in New York City.
Standard and Strange does not seem like the place that... Do you think they paid the wholesale price for that, or do you think that's like on like...
Like brand consignment?
Yeah, is that like on consignment? Like if they don't sell that, do they eat the loss?
Oh, that's a good question. Should I go in and start interrogating them about it?
Because they're in at least like $5,000 on that.
No, I bet you wholesale's got to be like $2,500.
Wholesale's, it's usually three. It's usually like threes. So like wholesale's three times the production. Retail's three times the wholesale. And these days, not even as much as that. You know those Comme des Garçons, the double shoes?
Yeah.
I want one of those so bad.
Okay.
I think they retail at like $2,500.
Ooh.
The wholesale is like $1,500. That is a complicated thing to make. That is an insanely difficult thing to make.
But by the rule of three, why would 2,500?
That's the thing. What I'm saying is the markup is not as extreme for those because I don't think they'd be able to sell them at like $5,000.
Yeah. That's crazy.
But
fuck.
I think it makes sense that those are so expensive. The
Give
idea
me
of
two pairs
like,
of thrifted derbies, some duct tape, a pair of good scissors, and some glue, and I got
you'll get
you.
Something horrible. It'll be ugly. You will not like it.
Do you not believe in me?
Love you, Saul.
Damn.
I love you, Saul, but you. I would not go to you.
Why
as
does
a
that have to come with a butt?
But
what the fuck?
I would not go to you as a cobbler.
I love you, Michael. That's it.
How about, would you not say like, I love you, Michael, but like, I won't let you practice chiropractory on my back? there's a but. There's got to be at least one. Like, if there's something I could like offer to do for you that you would have to be like, I love you, but.
Realistically? No, I trust you. And what? Saul, can I put out cigarettes against your skin? Like, no, you're not going to do that. Like, that's not who
right,
you are. My love is unconditional. Fuck up my shoes. They're just shoes. I can always get another pair of shoes.
All right. I'm in the wrong here.
Damn. I got called condescending and Michael's love is not conditional. Thank you so much for listening for the Pair of Kings podcast, everybody. I've been your host, Saul Thompson. Conditionally loved and condescending. You can find me on Instagram at Saul Thompson. Join the Hero Hero. You can go herohero.co/POK to support a condescending dickhead who isn't loved by his co-host.
You're not doing
That's
great.
That's fine. I'm sad. I'm not being condescending about it. I'm depressed. Anyway, go join the Hero Hero. It would mean a lot. We're doing giveaways and shit over there.
We'll see if this podcast lasts another week. Saul's about to break up.
I'm about to fucking cry my way home.
Oh,
the hour long train.
Oh,
my phone is in charge. I have to be sitting alone with my thoughts on the L train.
I'll charge your phone because I love you.
But exactly. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, all at Pair of Kings Pod. YouTube is Pair of Kings Podcast. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. I've been your host, Saul Thompson. You can find me on Instagram at Saul Thompson. My co-host, who loves me conditionally, is...
I don't even deserve to say my name. I'm not going to do it.
Michael Smith. You can find him on Instagram at _SmithStagram. I love him unconditionally. I learned today that was not reciprocated for a final time. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for listening to the Pair of Kings Podcast, everybody. This has been Business as Usual. Tomfoolery is planned. I might cry myself to sleep tonight. Bye, everyone. Enjoy the outro. Damn.